Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Ryan McGee from ESPN, also co-host of Marty and McGee. And Ryan, today, a very important day for the state of our country. And we'll get to some college football talk here in just a second. But season two of The Mandalorian releasing today. I am fired up about it. I know you are as well.
I'm halfway through it. I paused it to talk to you guys, and the timing couldn't have been worse because the big the big moment I was waiting on happened right when the phone rang. So, no, and listen, and my wife, who is asleep upstairs, I will 100% be lying to her later and telling her that I did not watch it. So if anybody asks, this would not be the first time I've done this, so don't tell her.
Wait, is she a fan too?
Oh, yeah, big time. No, big time. That's part of why our marriage works. Yeah, she's when we met in college in Knoxville, she sang at Dollywood, and she was a Star Wars fan, and she looked like Kelly Kapowski. So I spent the next many years trying to convince her to marry me, and she did.
So, okay, so you are going to pretend later to watch this for the first time. Man,
that is expert level.
My goodness.
Well, I got to tell you, Ryan. I'm
well, and listen, no offense to you guys. She will not listen to the podcast, or she's not on the internet right now, so I know there's no way this is going to get back to her.
Well, I've just got to tell you, I am emotionally touched that you hit the pause button to talk to us through this. This is a big moment and a big breakthrough for us on the show, I feel like.
Well, I'm not going to lie, and Ryan will tell you, I texted him about a half hour ago, and I said, hey, call a different number because I'm having some cell service issues, and I almost said, and you know what, just don't call at all. I realized the timing of it was, I get my daughter set up upstairs for school, and I went down in the basement, but the first half of it certainly has not disappointed.
Ryan McGee from ESPN on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So Ryan, obviously, Trevor Lawrence, the big news of the day last night, testing positive for COVID, mild symptoms, and obviously want to wish him well in his recovery. I guess we always knew there was going to be a decent shot at a really, really high-profile player having to deal with COVID, and now we have that here in college football.
Yeah, and he won't be the last one. And, you know, the reality is that, you know, Wisconsin is running through the Big Ten like a wrecking ball right now, and you know, someone was going to do that, and it's disrupted the entire season, and that was just going to happen. And a big name star, Heisman Trophy candidate, more than likely was going to test positive at some point. This is just how it is. And the good news is that when the footballs are kicked off, you know, whether it's Thursday night, Friday night, or Saturday afternoon, there is an escape, but only to a certain point, because the reality is that the COVID does not care what we're doing. And it doesn't care where we're going, and it doesn't care what we think about it. It's going to be everywhere whether we want it to or not. And so, yeah, this is just a reminder of that. But, I mean, you know, this thing has become so divisive, and it's so stupid. And, you know, I wake up this morning and I check Twitter, and most of the last thing I did before I went to bed was I posted the piece that David Hale did for ESPN.com last night, kind of laying out bullet points. All right, this is what we know, this is what we don't know. And my timeline was flooded with people this morning going, it doesn't matter because he's young. And so whatever, y'all. I buried an uncle last week. So let's not act like this is some magical, mystical, made-up thing. And more than likely, Trevor Lawrence is going to be okay. But we also don't know if he's going to be okay. And so this all, everybody acting like it's no big deal and it's just a big nuisance, that part drives me a little crazy. And, I mean, you know, I even got to Clemson people going, oh, they're just saving him from Notre Dame. Yeah, that's what it is. It's so irritating to me that this thing has become so trivial to so many people.
No, it's infuriating. I appreciate you saying that, Ryan. And, you know, it's like this misunderstanding that, yeah, we think Trevor Lawrence, we hope he's going to be okay. He should be okay. It's also an infectious disease that travels to other people. That seems to be lost in the translation.
Like I got a great friend of mine here in Charlotte, and I got a text from him the other day. Reports that there were, you know, COVID positives among some college basketball teams. But he's like, well, good, let's go on and get that out of the way. I go, dude, I know for a fact that your alma mater, that the woman who sits up front and answers the phones every day is 75 years old. So, and she's at work. So the point is, it's not just about the 19-year-olds. You know, it's about the people around them. And, you know, we got a guy in my neighborhood here in Charlotte right now who's been in the hospital for 3 weeks because his daughter was at Auburn, and she came home for the weekend. And that's just, you know, so that's the danger of it. And so everybody acting like this is all just some nuisance, that part drives me a little crazy. And it's a pain in the butt. You know, and as a college football fan, it's hard keeping track of all this stuff. But the reality is, I hope people appreciate the efforts that all of these athletes and all of these coaches and certainly all of these administrators are enduring to even get any teams on the field at all. And so that part we should be thankful for.
No doubt. And, of course, you know, I feel a little bit, you know, of a trepidation even going to the next step, but, hey, that's what we do. We talk about what will this mean on the field, Ryan, and
yeah.
We've talked about that already in the show, the idea that Trevor Lawrence, I mean, it sounds like it's possible that he could play at Notre Dame but might not be able to travel until game day.
Right.
We're
in a total, you know, you know, Nick Saban situation, you know, they're going to test him like crazy now, Trevor Lawrence, and they're going to not going to get him ready for Boston College. And quite frankly, they don't need him for Boston College, but they will need him for Notre Dame because Notre Dame is really good. And so they will do everything they can possibly do to make sure that he's there. So, yeah, you know, the good news is he plays football at Clemson. So I like their chances of getting a private aircraft to get him to wherever he needs to be as quickly as possible.
Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ryan, is there a more entertaining team in all of college football right now than Coastal Carolina?
Not a chance, man. Not a chance. And for someone who grew up, has lived in the Carolinas my entire life, basically, except for when I was in Knoxville and a couple years when I was in Bristol, Connecticut, you know, it's been the coolest thing to watch them. And you know, and I reference my dad all the time. My dad was a college football official for 40-something years. And when I remember Dad coming home from one of the very first Coastal Carolina games, because ACC officials also work Big South games, and him calling me and going, man, that was like a dirt lot, like a sand lot with, you know, 1,100 people there. And, you know, there were more people at the high school football game there the night before. And to see them go from that less than 20 years ago to being a top 20 team, and just the way they're doing it, man. You know, in a year when we just spent 5 minutes talking about bad news, and in a year when there's all this bad news, and I got a bunch of mullet-wearing rednecks down there in South Carolina, and, you know, living in Myrtle Beach, for heaven's sakes, and playing in a stadium named for the guy who founded Hooters. I mean, it's the most Myrtle Beach thing you can possibly think, and those dudes embrace it. And, yeah, they're just fun to watch.
No doubt. That's another awesome story that you've brought to life for us, Ryan. Going over to the Big Ten at this point, what was your initial impression of that first weekend of Big Ten football? And do you think that that Penn State could be a threat to the Buckeyes Saturday night?
No. I mean, that's from last week. Okay. And listen, just so everybody knows, Indiana, this is not the Indiana you grew up with. You know, this is not the Indiana that went to one bowl game in 30 years. They're pretty good, and offensively in particular, they're really good. And plus, I mean, we just saw a football player in Indiana uniform bend space and time, and you know, and a pylon and a sideline, you know, in his body, all bent all those things to score that 2-point conversion. But I mean, listen, Penn State's good. Now they're a sleeper. You know, now they've got that loss. But I still think, yeah, sure, they could make a run. But Ohio State's just really good, man. And Justin Fields is so good. And I think I said to you guys before, the crime of if the Big Ten hadn't tried to play this fall is we weren't going to get more Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Because more than likely he'd be gone. And so, I mean, he makes business decisions. That's how he ended up in Columbus in the first place. And so to be able to watch him play is a gift that, quite frankly, I wasn't expecting. So, but, man, the bottom half of the Big Ten's awful. I mean, they're terrible. Like you guys know, I write the bottom 10 for ESPN.com, and I mean, Maryland got housed, by Northwestern, and Illinois is terrible. And so, what's interesting to me is that it's always been Ohio State and Michigan and whoever else can get there, but like Nebraska is just a hot mess, and they don't even want to be in the conference anymore. And so, it's a fascinating study. But yeah. at the end of the day, all that matters is Ohio State's really, really good. And hopefully the conference can do enough to put them in a position that they'll have a chance to make a playoff run.
Ryan, before we let you go here, in honor of Halloween tomorrow, what's your go-to Halloween candy that Ryan McGee has to have?
I mean, I'm a chocolate guy. I don't completely freak out if somebody hands me some candy corn. I'm not going to eat it all year, but I'll eat it for the next 48 hours. But no, I believe that Mr. Goodbar is criminally underrated and mistreated. Like, even I took my family to Philadelphia a couple of spring breaks ago. We even went over to Hershey. I'm like, you can't even find a Mr. Goodbar here. So it's Mr. Goodbar is extremely disrespected. But if you've got a big stack of candy bars and there's any fun size little bitty Mr. Goodbars in there, I'm pushing everything else out of the way to get to it.
What did I just say yesterday?
I love it.
I just said the same thing, man. We are Mr. Goodbar brothers and Mr. Goodbar.
No, and that's for my dad, man. We get the stockings on Christmas and Santa Claus slash, you know, well, Santa Claus would just know to not even put anything in my dad's stocking other than Mr. Goodbar. Hey, and by the way, I just want to say congratulations to Maurice Patton and Larry Taft.
Yes.
And also want to, no offense if either one of y'all are involved, but they just now getting into the Sports Writers Hall of Fame in Tennessee.
Yeah.
What are we doing out there? But yeah, congratulations. And, I mean, I know they weren't the only people in the class, but those are the two guys I know, particularly Patton. And so congratulations to those guys. They've been heroes of mine for a long time.
Absolutely. Ryan McGee from ESPN and co-host of Marty McGee has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Ryan, thanks so much for taking time to join us, man. Enjoy the second half of The Mandalorian.
Yeah, I mean, literally, I'm hitting play as I hit off on this phone.
Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, Ryan.
I'll tell you what, he and I are of similar mind. When I get home, I'm not going to say hi to my wife, not going to pet the dog, going right to the TV.
Okay, so now it is the whole thing, I guess?
I think it's the first episode. He's halfway through the first episode.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was like, is he spending all day watching? That's what it sounded like.
How long are these episodes?
They're only 45 minutes.
Like, okay. 50. You know, hour long, right?
Not that long.
It's a good show.
Yeah, you might want to get into it, Porth.
But first, you'd
have
first
no idea what's going
Star
on.
Wars.
Yeah, you'd have no clue what's going on.
I only go watch it by itself.
I only go one show at a time because that's the only thing my brain can process while also processing a lot of sports. And right now we're on Blank Creek.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good show
on Netflix.
Yeah.
So, and we just started it, so it's going to be a long time before we can start the next show, which will not be The Mandalorian.
Wow, just disrespect right out of the gate. When we come back, how concerned are we that a certain conference's season in college football could already be in jeopardy? We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The minute the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 cranked up, all of a sudden, the Big Ten realized we're really going to be further behind these conferences in the arms race known as college football going forward, where things are completely turned upside down because of COVID-19. They were determined to be the moral compass for college football. People look at the Big Ten to be the moral compass, not the Ivy League. No, 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 no. Not the Patriot League. No, 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 no. They look to us in the Big Ten to be the moral compass in the immorality that is college football when it comes to 2020. And then they looked around and nobody was giving them what they believe they deserve. This is what you get if you're the Big Ten, not leaving yourself wiggle room because you decided to further an agenda that you thought that your agenda was bigger than college football.
That was Freddie Coleman from ESPN Radio talking about the mess going on right now in the Big Ten. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, it's a mess right now in the Big Ten. Wisconsin has had an outbreak at their program. The game against Nebraska on Saturday has been moved. And as you heard Freddie Coleman talk about there, with the way the Big Ten schedule is set up, there's nowhere to move it to. I mean, you have no wiggle room in terms of your schedule. And we talked about this before the Big Ten even began play. It seemed inevitable at some point with the standards that the Big Ten has put into place about, you know, certain requirements they have from a percentage basis of who can be missing and who can't be, from the cardiovascular testing that takes place, you know, after you've been diagnosed with COVID-19. There were a lot of obstacles in the way of this season going off smoothly for the Big Ten, and it already has not gone smoothly. What have you made of what you've seen out of the Big Ten so far and just the scheduling that's going to cause, I think, a huge problem for here for them as we continue to go down the road here?
Yeah, it's not a big surprise that there will be more ahead, and especially the way things are going, especially the way things are going in some of those states. I mean, Wisconsin is really bad.
Very bad.
Man, I hesitate to say this because I'm going off my memory of a tweet, but I think I saw like 25% positive rate relative to Wisconsin. I mean, it bottom line, it's bad. And so you're going to have more of this. I also think of Nebraska and this whole thing. Nebraska in the Big Ten right now. Nebraska tried to like sneak in UT Chattanooga in a game when they get the – you know, the Wisconsin. I mean, it was this huge thing for them to come back to play. And then they, you know, they went through all this stuff. Nebraska was very vocal, obviously, when they initially decided not to play. And one of the big things was, obviously, that, you know, they're going conference only. And Nebraska's like, well, can we get in UTC real quick? And apparently, like, no, what? What are you talking about? Yeah. So you got Nebraska out there. A pretty good column by Dan Wetzel on Yahoo.com about that marriage and how it just really has been really disastrous for 10 years. Nebraska, you've said they're like Tennessee. They are. I mean, it's there's some similarities.
Poor said that.
Oh, you said that.
It was really disrespectful.
Well, but you can see the parallels,
yes,
right?
Yes, you can.
Yes, definitely.
There are absolutely parallels.
Yeah, there's some big time between those programs. But
I mean,
some with Michigan too, but yeah.
The Nebraska Twitter account even put out the poll question.
Yeah.
Well, Tennessee's Twitter account ain't doing that.
Fair point. If the roles were reversed and the Huskers had six players and six staff members sitting out with positive tests, would the game be played Saturday? With the little emoji.
Now, wait a minute. You're saying that was the official Nebraska account?
Husker Sports.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was like a radio station.
No,
that was
yeah. That was a real thing.
I see. There you go. Man, yeah.
Can you imagine?
On. That's, yeah. I mean, it's like they hate the Big Ten, and the Big Ten hates them. but apart from all that, yeah, they're going to have more situations like this. And, you know, it's going to come down to they have no wiggle room. We knew that. And it's going to come down to, I still think, if we're talking about, like Ryan said, what's it really come down to with the Big Ten? It comes down to, can they get Ohio State into the playoff?
Yeah.
You know? Unless Michigan is really as good as they looked in the first week, maybe. But realistically, it's Ohio State, and what's it going to take? How many games do they have to play?
That's a good question. I mean,
I don't. I think.
I think as long as they hit five, I'm cool with it. But I don't know. I think you would want them in at 3-0.
I mean, listen, as someone who wants to watch the best football teams play, yeah, I would. And I know that would infuriate some people, but I watched them play one game. I said, oh, there's Justin Fields, 20 for 21, 276, throwing lasers that most humans can't even think about throwing. Yep, I want him against Clemson.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hey, I don't fault you. There's just got to be some sort of benchmark, I think, that you hit, and I'm not sure three games is enough. That's just my opinion.
What is that benchmark?
Yeah, what is it, though? And it hasn't been set.
Well, I understand that. But if you've got Clemson playing 11 games and Ohio State playing three, are you trying to tell me that that's comparable?
I'm trying to tell you that it's a pandemic.
I hear you.
Yeah.
But you can't throw everything out because of a pandemic.
Weird, wild stuff, man. No. I mean, like if Ohio State all of a sudden, like they didn't play at all, And then they somehow found some way to like show up at the playoff, and I would say no, that's probably not okay. Like you got to have some kind of standard. I mean, I'm sure they'll play more than three games, right? I think.
We're 1 week in.
It's probably not worth trying to project and predict at this point, especially the way things are going. But I mean, it a lot of it is what do you want to see? Who do you think? Again, we've talked about Clemson. Clemson isn't going to do anything all that impressive. I guess at Notre Dame, that would be something.
Yeah.
But we want them, man. If Clemson played 3-4 games, I'd feel the same way about them, you know?
Sure.
I hear you on it's unfair. It's unfair if this team is so much more beat up than this team. I still want them to play each other.
Paul Feinbaum joined Darren Donick and Chase yesterday to offer his thoughts
on the Big Ten season. Here's what Paul Feinbaum had to say.
I think it's easy to say it's going badly, and as soon as you say that, you get a bunch of blowback from people saying, "Well, you know, they're being safe and they're doing all the right things." Well, I don't know. They clearly made a mistake on August 11th when they punted the season, because that was not a mistake. Then why did they come back? And when they came back, they left themselves no margin for error. So I hate to say they're getting what they deserve, because that's a cruel statement about a disease like this or a virus. But, you know, whatever happens to them is their own fault, because they should not have punted the season.
So what's your reaction there to what Feinbaum had to say on Darren Donick and Chase?
Yeah, I mean, he's right. I mean, that's the thing. The whole process here has hurt them, obviously. And I don't know if it's if, you know, they at the time, I think they believed in what they were doing, but I think they also thought that everybody else was probably going to follow suit. And it was one of those. I think Freddie Coleman hit it. I mean, some of the turnaround here was like, what's the long-term effect going to be? Everybody's playing, they're fine, and we're not going to play. What is that going to do to us long-term? So they, you know, they changed course. I mean, it's funny, this week, you know, obviously the initial decision was related to these cardiac studies.
Yep.
And, you know, now Ross Dellinger had a good story for Sports Illustrated about how doctors are less and less concerned about that, which, that's stuff you got to talk about, and it's a constantly changing understanding. We've talked about this a million times. Like, they're figuring this thing out as we go daily. But it was funny to see, like, Barry Alvarez, like, we really need to be talking about this stuff, people. Why aren't we talking about this science? You know, I mean, it all looks very self-serving, and we know what this is about. But, yeah, the Big Ten screwed up in the first place. So this is where they are.
This is where they are, and you just, as we said yesterday a little bit, if something happens to Justin Fields in Ohio State, remember, it's different from Trevor Lawrence. Like, Trevor Lawrence theoretically could be back next week and play against Notre Dame right now with the way the rules are set up in the Big Ten. If something similar happened to Justin Fields, he'd be out 3 weeks. I mean, there's no wiggle room for what they've put in there right now.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any chance they adapt those stipulations they've put in?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I guess you could say there's a chance. If they flipped around and played the season, then there's got to be a chance. But I also feel like flipping around and playing the season came with, okay, then this is, we're not budging. You know, there's some presidents in that league who aren't comfortable playing. So I don't know. But there's the other question, too. So Lawrence, let's say he misses two, they lose one or whatever, you know. Does that, if Justin Fields misses three games and they lose one of them or two of them, I mean, does it matter, you know, if he only plays like a smaller percentage of his team season than like Trevor Lawrence does?
Well, that's where the games matter to me. If you're 11-1 and you're Clemson and Trevor Lawrence has missed a game, that's one thing. If you're 2-3 and Ohio State and, you know, Justin Fields missed three games, that's very different to me.
Yeah, I mean, if you're 2-3, that's at least one bad loss in there. So I think then you're okay. You guys aren't as good as we thought.
But even 2-2 or, you know, if you're 3-1, like, maybe it's a little bit different conversation at 3-1, but to me, there's a big difference between 3-1 and 11-1.
Yeah, there is. I agree. I'm still, like, if I'm on the committee, I'm voting them in, so. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Ohio State can do no wrong for Joe Rexroad here.
They've already done enough. They could not play another game this season, and they are in the playoffs.
They're undefeated.
1-0, baby.
Undefeated. How could you leave an undefeated Ohio State team out of the playoffs? Come on.
When we come back, we'll look ahead to a Saturday slate, an interesting Saturday slate in college football, that coming up next. But first, I got a word from FanDuel, and it's got the Robbie Stanley stamp of approval. It's almost here, Tennessee. Sports betting is right around the corner, and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you an exclusive offer to get started. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook giving users $50 in free bets just for signing up. That's $50 in free site credit to register and verify early. No deposit required. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got odds on all the biggest sports and a very simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and then lock it in. And unlike the other guys, once you win, FanDuel gets you your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why? because that's the right thing to do. So right now what you need to do, go download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and check out that fantastic app for yourself. Just be sure when you sign up and register, use promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, so they know that we sent you. And when you verify your account, you'll receive that $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. That's promo code ROB to get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Tune into this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday's NFL game is an NFC West battle as the San Francisco 49ers take on Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. with a 3:25 p.m. kickoff. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ryan Porth taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. An interesting slate this weekend in college football, Joe. Not a ton of great matchups as you look around the SEC. An interesting one, though, which is the game of the week on CBS, LSU against Auburn. Two teams that you don't really know what to make of them so far. LSU's defense at times has been absolutely atrocious. Auburn basically has been gift-wrapped at two games by the officials. They sit at 3-2 on the season. LSU favored by 3 in this game. We're going to have this game later on our Pigskin Pick'em segment, which, by the way, has gotten very tight. Looking forward to that coming up later in the show. What do you make of this matchup between LSU and Auburn?
Yeah, excuse me. Well, first of all, so Miles Brennan we know for sure is out.
He's out.
Right? We have for sure that Miles Brennan's out. So, of course, Finley came in, the freshman, and looked really good
against
South Carolina. T.J. Finley, 6'6", 250, huge guy. And this may be a one of those take-your-job Wally Pipp kind of deals for LSU. Now, you don't want to overreact to one game against South Carolina, but that looked more like LSU. I still thought, okay, LSU's still going to be really good this year. They lost. You put 14 guys in the draft, including the number one overall pick, and 10 guys who go in the top three rounds. I mean, no one's just going to bounce back and be just fine after that. I still thought they would be better than they've been, but that started to look like the LSU team I envisioned this year. And it's a fascinating game because I still don't know what to make of Auburn, but I don't think they're very good. And I think if LSU can carry that over, then we might start talking about two teams going in different directions here. But, you know, it's also Finley, young player. You get on a roll at home against a pretty weak defense. Maybe it's a little bit different when you go on the road. I know home road doesn't mean what it normally means, but it means something still in this league.
Missouri traveling to play Florida on the road. Florida favored by 12.5. Florida back in action. What do you make of that matchup, especially given everything that the Gators have been through? It's been a while since they've stepped foot on the field. It's going to be interesting to see how they respond in this game, in a game they're favored by 12.5 in at home against Missouri.
Yeah, it is. It's like they just sort of dropped out of the sport for a while, yeah, and they're back. Bazelak from Missouri. Now, they didn't have a great offensive day against Kentucky. They didn't score a lot of points, but they had like long drives, and he was very good. And he's been one of the surprise stories of the league. And against that Florida defense, I think he can get some stuff done. Now, I don't know what Missouri's defense can get done in this game, but I do think that has the potential for a little bit of a shootout.
As you look around the country, an interesting matchup in the Big Ten, Ohio State traveling to take on Penn State. Now, of course, no fans in the Big Ten, so there's not going to be any sort of home field advantage whatsoever for Penn State in that game. Penn State didn't look all that great Saturday against Indiana. Do you think there's any shot they give Ohio State a run in this game? Ohio State favored by 12.5.
Yeah, this is that game where we talk about home road. This is where, if it were normal, I'd say, yep, and we've seen it before. We've seen much better Ohio State teams go into that place for night games and lose or come close to losing just because I think, honestly, anybody who hasn't been to Beaver Stadium, I mean, it is absolutely the middle of nowhere. And at night with the students and the whiteout and everything, it's like it messes with the opponent. And now you're just going to have just, you know, piped in noise. So
James Franklin yelling on the sideline.
That's a long way of saying no. I do think Penn State has a lot of talent still. James Franklin has recruited extremely well. But Sean Clifford, they're not as strong as they've been. You got to have a quarterback who's going to play at a super high level to give you a chance. And I just don't see as much as Penn State has NFL guys in that defense, they're not going to stop Justin Fields in that offense.
It was a rough weekend last weekend for Sparty. Seven turnovers against Rutgers. An in-state matchup this week. Between, I guess it is an interstate matchup, too, whichever way you want to look at it. Michigan State.
Intrastate.
Yes, intrastate. Michigan State going on the road to take on Michigan. Michigan favored by 24.5 in this game. Is Michigan for real finally this year, Joe?
I think they are really good. If anybody watched, I mean, Joe Milton, you know, there's a lot of hype about him, and a lot of big-time quarterbacks have transferred out of there because he has elevated to win the job. Tell you what, he's a good-looking player. They lost a lot of talent, too, from last year to this year, but Minnesota's not bad, and they went and thumped them. So I do think that Michigan is for real, you know, to a point. Does that mean for real you can beat Ohio State in that game? I have my doubts there. But I think Milton is a really intriguing player. They have a lot of talent still on defense. Don Brown's a good DC. I mean, Michigan State, you know, it wasn't long ago Michigan State was dominating this rivalry, and you're talking about 24.5 point spread. Mm. I'd love to know when the last time – I mean, we're talking, man, maybe the 80s, I think. Man, maybe I'm wrong, but I think you might have to go back to the 80s for that. So they'll destroy Michigan State, but I do think Michigan's a team to watch here moving forward to build toward a possible good game against Ohio State.
Are they the biggest threat to Ohio State? You've got Penn State in there. You've got, I mean, Indiana, big win last week against Penn State.
I mean, I love Indiana, yeah. But, you know. I love Indiana, and I agree with Ryan McGee. Indiana is actually legit offensively. They play actual tempo. You know, talk about tempo. Watch them and their tempo. And Penix is he's a really good quarterback. He's going to be a pro. But they're not. I mean, they're not at that level. Yeah, I think Michigan's the biggest threat. Maybe Penn State will prove me wrong, but I think it's Michigan.
I think a completely healthy Wisconsin may have an argument there as well, especially now that they found a quarterback. But who knows what's going to happen with them as they move forward here?
Yeah, it's true. Mertz is easily the biggest quarterback recruit they've ever had, and he looked the part last week.
So moving down to the Big 12, the lone remaining hope for the Big 12, Oklahoma State, is undefeated. They take on Texas this week at home. They are 3.5-point favorites against the Longhorns. Texas 3-2 on the season. Oklahoma State, really the Big 12's last hope in the college football playoff race. I'm going to call my shot early. We've got call your shot coming up next segment. Texas gets the job done. Oklahoma State's going down this weekend.
Yeah, I'm with you. This sets up perfectly for that. And I know the mullet would maybe – he'd like, hey, can we get a little bit of Oklahoma-Texas treatment from the Big 12 in this game? The refs, something? But it totally sets up for them to blow this.
Vanderbilt playing against Ole Miss this week, Joe. What do you make of Vanderbilt, where they are as a program right now? They've had a couple of weeks off now, one due to COVID, one due to just a normal bye week. Ole Miss coming in here, I think a 16.5-point favorite. What do you make of where Vanderbilt is right now and how they go about kind of the second part of their season here after a two-week reset?
It's a big, big game for Vanderbilt. You know, I think that there's reason for optimism that Vanderbilt's offense can figure some things out here and produce. I think this offense, if you look at what they're doing on the scoreboard, it's bad. But it doesn't always reflect the play on the field. I do think they've figured some things out. They have been good up front. I really like their backs. Now, we don't know everybody who's going to be there. You know, like, is Keon Brooks going to be there? If so, I like their chances better. He is a special player. He looked really good against South Carolina. I mean, you're talking about back-to-back games with 7 points, and yet I didn't think the offense was terrible in those games. I know that's funny to say, but, like, they didn't finish drives. They're missing short field goals. Things like that. You know, Ken Seals, with this time off, coming back, I really think that they have a chance to score points in this game. Can they stop Ole Miss? I'm less confident about that.
Does Lane Kiffin get fined in this game? Does he get fined 2 weeks in a row?
fined for complaining about the refs?
Just complaining about anything, yeah.
Like retweeting something like at halftime? I think
would Lane, you put it past him? I would not.
I wouldn't put anything past him, but I think Lane might be fine free here. I think his team's going to end up putting a big number up. I think for Vanderbilt, you know, can you get a couple turnovers and try to match them? I do think it could be a kind of a fun little shootout game.
When we come back, it's that time of the week, Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions for this weekend in the world of sports. We've had great participation on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Send us your text, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Give us your bold predictions of sports over the weekends. I've got a couple. I think Porth's got about 12 that he was going to throw out there. So we'll see what all he's got to say. Call Your Shot Friday. Coming up next, this is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's that time of the week. Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Well, Porth, you've got a few called shots to get to, so we're going to let you kick things off here.
Wow.
Your first edition of Call Your Shot Friday with us. You're our honorary spokesman.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
What we're here for.
I've got five
called
shots for Titans-Bengals. Titans-Bengals alone. I've got five called shots.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
This is in order of confidence.
Okay.
All right.
So the first one you're starting with is the most confident.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm going over on 53. The over-under is 53.
Oh.
The Titans and the Bengals, those two defenses, they will combine to give up more than 53 points.
Oh, yeah.
I am going over on that over-under.
That's a good called shot.
Called shot number two in this game alone. Tyler Boyd goes over 100 yards for the Bengals.
Okay.
Tyler Boyd is a sneaky good receiver. If you don't own him in fantasy or if you're not a Bengals fan, you don't know who Tyler Boyd is. He's very good.
Very good.
Number three called shot, Jonnu Smith goes over 100 yards with a touchdown.
Ooh.
Okay.
I like that one.
The Cincinnati Bengals give up the second most fantasy points to tight ends in the NFL this season.
Wow.
I called shot with some statistical backing. I like it.
So Jonnu has a big day after a bad day against the Steelers.
Do you think his statistical backing gives his called shots a greater chance to succeed than you and I?
Not necessarily, but it's nice to have some, you know, a little bit
okay.
of, yeah.
All right, number four called shot for Titans-Bengals. Steven Gostkowski does not miss a field goal or an extra point.
Oh, that could be bold.
So, but it's possible he could just take no kicks.
Well, I guess
then again,
that doesn't really
go in with the over, though.
Yeah.
Unless the Titans just decide to start going for two every time.
Let me tell you this. He'll be kicking some extra points
on
Sunday.
A good handful.
But I like the no miss field goals, okay?
Last but not least on this game, Vic Beasley gets a sack.
Oh,
man.
A shot.
If Vic Beasley does not get a sack against this Bengals offensive line or what's supposed to be an offensive line, I don't know when he's going to get a sack. So Vic Beasley enters the sack column on Sunday.
I like it.
I've got one similar to that.
Do you?
Yeah. But I'm
for
glad
Vic Beasley?
No.
Okay.
I'm just saying there, something along those lines.
Okay.
But I'm glad that this is actually kind of like dueling called shots.
Well, look, I think I've called Clowney getting a sack twice this year. I'm not doing that ever again. No more of my Call Your Shot Fridays will be spent on Jadeveon Clowney.
If you keep predicting that he's going to get a sack, he's eventually going to make you sound correct.
Is he?
That's a
valid question. We're off to a bad start. Is he?
Have you specified? Sure. Like if we went back, did you just say Jadeveon Clowney will get a sack? If that's the case, if he gets one this year, you might be right.
I said in the Jacksonville game he would get two.
Yeah.
I said last week he would get one. It ain't happening again. I'm not doing that prediction again.
No more Clowney shots.
No more. He is on the blacklist to me. It's not happening. Not going there. Rex Road, your called shot.
Yeah, so I'll start with that for this one. So I've kind of, with these, at times I do like the long-term thing. I've got the Vandy women's basketball team making the NCAA tournament. I'm still waiting on David Poyle to deal one of his core players. You know, I'm not optimistic, but it's just out there. Until I know it's not happening, it's out there as a shot. But I'm going to go, you know, just two games this weekend with the shot. One is, I like the Beasley call. I'm going Derek Roberson will get a sack in this game. Now, that's a shot that's also, first of all, the first shot there is that they're going to activate him.
He's got to be activated, yeah.
And I think that they will. I know they've been going with the three outside linebacker thing, but I think that they will activate him and give him a shot this week. I mean, just because I think it makes sense to do so. And, yeah, I got Roberson getting in there. I think, you know, this is a good week to call a sack shot against that offensive line.
Okay.
Here's my other one. Now, you're going to – I have to explain this because you're going to not believe this shot. But this is actually perfectly in line with this franchise, okay?
Okay.
This is exactly what this franchise does. The Detroit Lions will beat the Indianapolis Colts.
Really?
And,
oh, yeah.
And they're still bad. They're still garbage. They're trash. They're toxic. All these things. But this is a perfect – a tease situation for Lions fans, including one I'm trying to deprogram.
Did he talk you into this?
No.
Okay.
We haven't talked about this. I don't even know if, you know, we haven't. It's usually during the game excitement about, oh, they had an 8-yard run, you know. No, they'll win this. I actually think that, you know, Matthew Stafford, the way he gets the ball out, Kenny Golladay and these guys, I think that they'll do enough against that defense and pull the stunner. They'll still end up, you know, like 7-9. But, yes, they are my two shots.
I like that. I like it. I'm going to stick with the Titans for my first shot. A.J. Brown will have 200 yards receiving.
Whoa.
200 on the board. 200 yards.
I hope Floyd Reese is
receiving. I think there's a couple of big plays that he makes in the game, similar to how he did last week against Pittsburgh. I think it happens a couple of times. And he gets up 6-7 catches, 200 yards in the game. He's an explosive guy with the ball in his hand.
Man, if AJ goes for 200 and Jonnu goes for 100, Tannehill's
going to have I don't think Jonnu's getting 100.
It's dueling shots again.
Yeah, dueling shots.
Could Beasley and Roberson both get a sack? Imagine that. Like, mind blown. Do that mind blown gif.
The first time that any of them get a sack, I think my mind will be blown. When it's not Harold Landry or Jeffrey Simmons. It's just been incredible to watch so far. And there's my other shot. I was going to save this until later for our NFL picks on Pigskin Pick'em, but I've got a few options there. So I'm comfortable doing this on Call Your Shot Friday. The Pittsburgh Steelers will win by double digits against the Ravens.
Wow.
Double-digit win for the Steelers against the Ravens. Steelers will remain undefeated. They move to 7-0. Ravens drop to 5-2.
Man, late Steelers touchdown. Believer, huh? You are a believer.
I like the Steelers. Right. I think they're very good.
It's a good shot.
Steelers are 4-point dogs.
I know.
In that game.
I know.
So yeah,
it's a bold prediction. That's what we're here for.
Now, here's a question, because we've gotten into this now. Now, because you called that shot, you could still use that in Pigskin Pick'em, right? Is that the
rule? I could. I'm not going to, but I could.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, if you want to.
Make sure. I might Pigskin Pick'em flip that around on you.
Well, maybe we'll just have to wait and see what you do there, Rex.
We just will.
Let's go to our...
I've got one more.
Oh, God, he's adding more. We'll go up to six. All right.
It relates to Cincinnati, but not the Bengals.
Oh, boy.
The Cincinnati Bearcats are going to get payback on Memphis.
What does that mean?
Well, Memphis beat them in back-to-back weeks last year.
Yeah.
Well, I understand, but are they going to win by one? Are they going to win by 20? What does payback mean?
We'll go 3 touchdowns.
Whoa.
Oh, boy.
I think they'll win, too, but that's a shot.
The spread is about 6.5.
6.5?
But the Bearcats know how to play some football.
It's a good team.
You know what my favorite part about this discussion is? Every time Porth gets his hopes up about a team from Cincinnati, he's not a Bengals fan, by the way, but a team from Cincinnati, they just crush him. I'm very much looking forward to a Memphis victory on Saturday night.
It ain't going to happen.
Memphis.
It is not going to happen.
Are you a big Bob Huggins fan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I'm not a fan with what he did to get fired, but I am a big fan of what he did with the Cincinnati Bearcats basketball team.
So Cincinnati Xavier, you're Cincinnati.
You're about to get fired up.
Started. Oh. The Xavier Musketeers eat their pregame meals at Gold Star Chili.
Ooh, not
because Skyline Chili is the only chili in Cincinnati.
Wow. There's a couple hot takes right there.
Gold Star sucks.
Wow.
I've never tried Gold Star. Is it the Apparently same style of chili?
Yes, but it's not the same thing. Gold Star is garbage. Skyline is amazing.
And so Xavier is affiliated with the garbage fake Skyline.
Okay. Correct.
Okay.
All right. Wow.
Correct. And
what
Xavier,
a heated rivalry.
And Xavier, you can spend all day trying to find the Xavier football spread for this weekend. You're not going to find it because they don't play football.
Ooh, just more shots being taken.
A lot of anger towards Xavier. Jeez.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com. Got a text that says, called shot, Ryan Porth will be wrong on all six of his called shots. I like that. What do you think the chances are you go over?
Pretty high.
Oh, really? Okay.
He's not going over. That'd be tough to do. I like the over a lot.
The over, I think, is pretty.
How was the over under 53?
I don't know. I think maybe there's too much respect going on for the Titans defense nationwide, I think. Keyshawn Johnson talking about the Titans running the ball, playing defense.
Run the ball, play defense.
The over under at 53? I don't know. I'd probably go over there as well. Let's go back to the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in, the Titans will have 300 yards rushing and 285 yards passing. 300 yards rushing.
What?
Is that a –
this is
like
not,
Derrick Henry's got 230 and McNichols comes in and has got, you know, a big gain for 75? What are we doing here?
300 – when's the last time an NFL team had 300 yards rushing?
I don't know.
I mean, how many times has it happened in history?
300 yards. I like it, though.
I mean, that's a shot.
That's what we're about here.
If we're calling shots, that counts. It's calling a shot.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in, Jeffrey Simmons will intercept a tip ball and he will score a touchdown. I like that. That is a very specific called shot. I'm all about it. Now, Jeffrey Simmons, to Nate's point, has been very good at tipping balls the last couple of weeks, caused a turnover last week. Maybe he comes down with one, scores a touchdown. I'd like to see, you know, the big guy touchdowns in the NFL, one of my favorite things about football.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't seen a whole lot of those this year. I need more in my life.
At some point, that's definitely going to happen with that guy, you know? So I like that shot.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, you better watch your mouth disrespecting Gold Star like that.
Oh, okay.
It is upsetting people. It is awful. Just
I've never even heard of it, I have to admit. And I've eaten at Skyline. I've eaten Skyline a ton. So,
yeah, don't affect your feeling on Cincinnati chili by eating at Gold Star this weekend. Just go to Skyline.
Taste way different?
Yes.
Okay.
Somebody texted into the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, called shot, Clowney almost gets a sack. What does that mean? I mean, I guess he's almost gotten a sack all the time.
Yeah.
Every game this
year. I mean, you're feeling good about that coming through.
Got Dustin texting into the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com says Tua goes for 300 yards passing and 3 touchdowns in his debut. How do you think Tua does this week?
Remind me again.
Home against the Rams.
They're home against the Rams. Aaron Donald.
Yeah. Pretty good all-around solid defense there.
However, the Rams are traveling cross-country after playing a Monday night game at home.
The Rams have been going out east a lot. I mean, they've been traveling all over the place.
Eagles, Bills, Dolphins.
Yeah.
I think Tua will probably have his ups and downs. He'll make some plays, but he won't win. I don't think he'll win. He probably won't have gaudy numbers either.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, my called shot is it's an under 53. The game's... I don't know, 22-27 if you're lucky with Derrick Henry leading the way. So saying a 22-27 game, Titans win 27-22, and the under stayed, or the over-under 53, it goes under.
Okay.
I'd be surprised.
It certainly could happen. Crazier things have happened in the NFL, but I like the over. I like the over a lot.
All right, here's the last one on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Austin texts in, am I the only one worried about Joe Burrow carving up the Titans defense like a pumpkin? Called shot. Titans defense struggles again, and the Titans bring in Dean Pease as a, quote, defensive consultant after this game.
That'd be something.
That would be something.
That'd be quite a shot. I think he's happy in Ohio right now. He's got his son coaching high school football. He's got grandkids.
Yeah.
That would be quite a trick to get him back as a consultant.
That was a nice Halloween reference there by Austin. Joe Burrow carving up the Titans defense like a pumpkin.
Very timely.
Very timely.
And no, you're not the only one who thinks that might happen.
Absolutely. I think there's a decent chance that happens on Sunday. I just have probably more confidence that the Titans offense is going to carve up the Bengals defense. When we come back, we'll get into that matchup
a little bit. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.